Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama Samach Gimel. We're on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We started the seventh parak of the Masechta yesterday here. Baba Kama, seventh parak. We're talking about Geneva. You steal an item. There are really numerous ways in which you can steal an item. In fact, yesterday's Daf, at the end of the sixth parak, the Gemara talked about the difference between being a Chomes and meanwhile, what was the Gemara's question yesterday? Between the Chamsan and Gazan. Thank you. So Chamsan is somebody who extorts, and Gazan is somebody who steals. So in English, in other words, we have a lot of words that describe taking something away from somebody. But as far as the Torah is concerned, as far as Halacha is concerned, so very specific, obviously, very legal. And that is that there's Geneva, there's Gzela, there's Chamsan. So in fact, yesterday's off, we also talked about Tului Vizvine, having a for sale, which sounds like extortion, but anyway, they're different. They're different than one another. So our pecker over here, the opening of the seventh pecker, talks about Geneva. We all know when a person is a ganav, so that means that he takes something in stealth. So he does not reveal his identity. In fact, he conceals his identity. He goes into somebody's house, or it doesn't have to be somebody's house, and just takes something away from somebody, but trying to do so in a manner in which he doesn't reveal who he is. Gzela, on the other hand, person has no shame whatsoever. The person just stands right there, takes an item, and he does so by force. So that's Gzela. As long as we're talking, Chamsan, so that's an extortionist. In other words, I'm going to take the item, but I'm going to pay for the item. So that's being a Chomes. And then there's Tuluya Vizvina, and then there's a for sale, which the Gemara says is, it's acceptable. Without getting into the issues of Lo Sachmot. Okay, anyway, but Geneva. So, and what do we know regarding Geneva? So by Geneva, so the Torah imposes a knas. There's a fine for Geneva. You steal an item, so you're caught with a stolen item, you're going to have to pay. Not only going to have to pay, you're going to have to pay kefil. Furthermore, if you steal an item and then either you shech the item or you sell the item, so you're going to be paying even a continued knas of dal vehei, four or five times the amount of that which you stole, depending on the size of the animal, the type of animal that it is that you stole and shechted, alternatively stole and sold. Okay? It's really that simple. Now, I say it's that simple, and I know what's coming up ahead in today's daf, and that is going to be an extraordinarily technical daf regarding how do we arrive at all this information. Basically, at the beginning, right here at the introduction, right, we presented the information. It's all there. There's Geneva, there's Kefal, and then occasionally there's Dal Vehei. Not always, but sometimes. There's going to be Dal Vehei. Depending on, first of all, obviously for Dal Vehei, you have to shecht or sell the item. And it also is only limited to an animal and not to any other item which is stolen. Good. That's it. Everyone can go home now. I get it. But in other words, but everything is going to be extracted and expounded based on Pesukim. And so quite frankly, really, what I should have done is prepared everybody, tell you where to look in the Torah. We're going to be in Perek Chav Beis and Shmos, right? Parshas Mishpatim. And we're going to be looking primarily at Pesukim Vav Zayin and Ches. Okay? So if you want to... If you're here right now, it's too late. But if you're listening, you could pause right now, open up a chumash, chav beis, psukim vav zayin nechesen. That's what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, and that is that we're going to be darshaning. Okay, so everyone get ready, we begin. Midas Hashem Mekevel Noheg. So we are in Samach Beis Amud Beis, and we did the Mishnah yesterday, and we did the first part of the Gemara, and when we get to Tony's Tanis Ganav, which we're going to get to momentarily, I'll introduce that as well. Anyway, Menahani Mili, Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so here we are now. So we're going to start now. Everything is Parakhav Beis, and we're going to start in Pasuk Ches. Okay, we're jumping between Vav and Ches, and also, by the way, Zayin as well. So we're going to start at Ches. So now, Pasuk Ches, it's going to read as follows. I'm going to read the Pasuk in full. Akol Tavar Pesha, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Sama, Akol Aveda, Asher Yamak Yuzer, Ad Ha Elohim, Yavod Varshneim, Asher Yishun, Elohim, Yishalem Shneim, Lere'ehu. Okay. The part that's clearest in the Pasuk, and the easiest to translate, is that there's kefil, right? In other words, that's the end of the pasuk. Yishalem shnayim le're'ehu. You don't pay him one time the amount of that which you took, but you're going to pay him two times the amount. Okay, also, you know the style of the pasuk. It's very clear. In other words, it operates with a generality, followed by specifics, followed then by a generality, otherwise known as kal part of kal. Okay, that part's easy as well. Then after that, it gets a little bit detailed, and that's where we are right now. Tanu Rabban of the Gemara quotes the Braisa, called the Vepesha Klal. Al Shura Chamor Al Seh, Al Salma Prat. And then I'll call Aveda Chazur Kla, Kala Pratu Kla, Liata Dan Elakena Prat. Ma Prat Mifarash, Davra Metalta Vagufa Mammon, I've called Davra Metalta Vagufa Mammon. Okay, so what we're going to do now is give our most basic form of methodology of how we darshan Kala Pratu Kla, And by looking at the four examples, so now we're going to see that anything that is going to be modeling those four examples are going to be included in the kefal penalty, and anything which isn't is not going to be included. So now, it's got to be davar metalt, it's got to be a movable item, because all four examples cited over here are movable items, and gufa mamon, it has to have intrinsic worth. And what is it coming to exclude? Yazu karkaos, shena metalt, and obviously property is not movable, therefore it's excluded. And yes, Tosfos asks the obvious question. How exactly are you stealing property? In other words, we're talking, the pasuk is describing you picking something up and taking it, meaning you're a ganav. How exactly are you ganvening property? So Tosfos at the end writes over here, you can see the last Tosfos over here on the Amud. So Tosfos is V'yei Shlamar. No, not that Tosfos, sorry. Tosfos above it. So V'yei Shlamar B'masik Vol. Second to last Tosfos on the Amud. Okay, so Tosfos gives one answer, and that is Asakazak Vol. You take your fence and you move it over. Okay, that's one possibility of how you could steal property. Inami, it's also a second possibility. So interesting. But mechuba lekarka ki ahi the yud gefanim to unus v'torin shegan velo gan velo hey v'nimtzu shu ganvam. Okay, something that was connected to the ground and then you picked it off the ground, that is considered also karka because it was karka at the time when you stole it, even though the act of stealing it required you to detach it. Okay. There's a lot to consider over there in that second answer of Tosos. This is a Daf Yomi. We're not going to spend time thinking about the second answer in Tosos. But anyway, but we're going to go on. So in other words, so what's including Kefal? So again, the Torah describes four different examples. And now what we're going to do is a classic darshaning of Klal Apart Klal. So number one, what does it come? It has to be something movable and has intrinsic value. So the first exclusion is Karka. That's number one. Number two, Yatsu Avadim Shukshula Karkos. And also Avadim because Eved and Karka are hukash zelazeh. They are interconnected. Yatsu shtara shafa pi shei metalten gufa mamon. And what about notes, contracts, IOUs? So they are definitely movable, but they don't have intrinsic value. In other words, the only thing the contract allows you to do is to collect money. It's a note. And then what you're going to do is you're going to hand the note in order to collect money. But the note itself does not have intrinsic value. And yasu hektesh re'ehu ksiv. And as far as hektesh is concerned, in other words, something that belongs to hektesh, you stole it. You were caught with a stolen item. Are you going to be paying kefal? No, you're not. Because it says re'ehu. This is interpersonal between you and your chaver. And obviously hektesh is going to be excluded. That's not a private individual. That is rather institution. So ima prat meforesh davishin evlasa matame b'magav v'masa avkol davishin evlasa matame b'magav v'masa ava ofoslo. So the Gemara says, okay. So here we are now with a classic klal apart klal. The Gemara says, if that's true, so then we're going to do what we're going to do, which is that we're going to look at the examples, we're going to note what the standard characteristics are of these examples, and that's it. That's going to create the model. And the Gemara says, if that's true, so what animals were presented over here? Kosher animals, right? The prat mefurish davishin of lasa matamib and magav amasa. The animal's dead and it gives off tumah. So that means that it has to be davar shenivlasa matame b'magav amasa, which excludes birds. What happens when a bird dies, kosher bird dies, you touch it, you become tame? No. You carry it, you become tame? Also no. When do you become tame? By nivlas of tahor? Achila. You have to ingest it, you have to eat it. That's the only way to become tame, by nivlas of tahor. So over here, so let's say birds are excluded. I steal somebody's bird and I'm caught, I don't pay kefal, right? But that's not right. So Amrei Anan Bebali Chaim Kamrinan. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Bnei Ayeshiva. Umi Matzis Amrei Hachi. I skipped a step of the Gemara. I'm going to go back. I'm going to not skip a step. Umi Matzis Amrei Hachi Vasam Maksiv. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If the Torah's examples were just about birds, if the Torah's examples were just about animals, so then your point is to, I take your point. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. In other words, of the examples that are given, also Sama. What's it called? Some sort of article of clothing. So it's not limited to just animals. So Amri, so in the yeshiva, they say as follows, Anu ba'balei chayim kamrinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're focusing only on balei chayim. So Ema ba'balei chayim, davish nivlasu matame b'magav amasa. And davish nivlasu matame b'magav amasa lo. So the Gemara says, look, I'm with you. Meaning, you're right. There are four examples given here in this pasuk. And you're right. Of the four examples, so one is clearly not talking about an animal. But within animals, meaning of the examples that are given of animals, I would tell you that it's only limited to animals that give off tumas magamasa. which are your four-legged creatures, not birds. So and the Gemara says, and look, kol chavechad klal kol uprat. Sorry. Which means that in terms of methodology, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take each one of them and apply the rule of klal uprat klal. Meaning, normally what happens in klal uprat klal? You have general, specific, general. And let's say in the specific, there's more than one example cited. So then what you do is you do what I like to call a common denominator. I take whatever the examples are. I take now what common characteristics they all have, and then that creates our base model. That's our prototype. And from there, we go ahead and we see what matches those denominator points. Good. That's normally what we do. The Gemara says here, that's not what we're going to do. Here, what we're going to do is, we're going to do klal uprat klal, the four examples in the middle. What are we going to do? Each one of them independently. Each one of them creates its own model. So instead of having one model with four common characteristic points, which is typically what we do, here what we're going to do is that we're going to have four different models of what to choose from. Each one of them is ba'ape nafshe. You could do that? Obviously from our Gemara, yeah, you could do that. Meaning, but why don't we always do that? So Rashi over here writes, Klamar, top Rashi and Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Hey, Chadika, Prati Yisera Kol Chavecha Mar Bekein Didei. Right? So Rashi writes that on occasion, this is exactly what we do. We take a single example and we use that to create now a base model. And from there, we go ahead and we say, well, in the world of animals, it's got to be, quote unquote, I said a kosher animal. I just want to modify that. I don't mean a kosher animal. I simply mean an animal that gives off tumas mago masa. Okay, good. And so the Gemara says, im kein. So where are we right now? So we want to know what item you have to steal in order to be eligible for kefil. Now, you don't want to be eligible for kefil, but in other words, what are those items? So targets, for examples, we're using klal uprat klal, but now we're being more specific. It's not just klal uprat klal. In other words, each one of them darshins independently. The animals that are given are metame b'maga masa. So that means to say, only animals that are tame b'maga masa are chayv kefil, but a bird which is not metame b'maga masa is not going to be chayv kefil. That's where we're at right now. So, im kein dechtav rechman echad prata. So the Gemara says, if that were in fact the case, the Torah would have therefore given us only one prat. And then we could have concluded just like that. So the Gemara says, Hai nechtav rechmana. You really, one prat. Which of the four should be the one? Ikas of rechmana shor, hava amina, krav legabe mizbech in, shein krav legabe mizbech lo. If the Torah would have just said shor, right, one of the four examples and only that one, I would have said, you know, shor is eligible to be brought as a carbon. Only when I steal an item that is eligible for a carbon, then and only then I pay kefil. And I would have said the same thing regarding chamor. Not the same thing, but I would have limited. If the Torah only gave the example of chamor, so then I would have said, oh, chamor, right, the petarechem. In other words, firstborn chamor is going to have kedusha, right? Only non-kosher animal that has kedushas bechor. What do you do with it? You obviously can't offer it as a carbon. Oh, good. The Torah tells you what to do with it. Parshas bo. Good. Okay, good. Anyway, so I would have said that only had something that has kedushas b'chor. Any animal that does not have kedushas b'chor, and I stole that animal that does not have kedushas b'chor, it's not going to be chayv kefil. So I can't, in other words, the Torah could not have given one animal, neither chamor or shor by itself, because again, it would have been extraordinarily limiting. Amre, in the yeshiva, this is what they said. So the Gemara says, you're right. So shor and chamor, you're right. They were both necessary. But then the Torah introduces us to seh. All right, that's the third animal given in over there. What's that coming to tell me? It's coming to include, it's lasuya ofos. Ema lasuya ofos tahorim, dom yedeseh, demetame begadim abeis abliyah. Ava ofos tamein beleis buhutama, dolom metame begadim abeis abliyah. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but maybe we'll do the following, and that is, you're right. It's the third example, it's superfluous, It's obviously coming to add something. It's coming to add other types of animals, i.e. birds. But maybe only kosher birds, says a kosher animal. So maybe it would only come to include kosher birds. Okay, and here, by the way, this is where I misspoke earlier this morning. And here's where the Gemara is focusing on the fact that it's kosher. Meaning, sa obviously is a kosher animal, it's a sheep. And so birds, only kosher birds. The way the Gemara describes kosher birds, it's metame abesa blia. I know we all know this, but I'm just chazering. And that is that if you were to ingest the carcass of a kosher bird that did not receive a shechita, so you're tummy. In other words, birds operate, tumatahara by birds operate differently than animals. Animals that die without shechita, so they're metame bemaga uvamasa, contact and carrying. When it comes to bird, there's no maga, there's no masa, it's only beis ablia. Right, eating it, which parenthetically, by the way, it's in of itself so interesting, right? We made this observation numerous times before. In other words, you're not allowed to eat. It's usur to eat. In other words, it didn't receive a shechita. It's a nevela. So it's usur to eat. Okay, good. But in addition to that, aside from the fact that you violated the Torah and you ate a davar isur, on top of that, also your tummy now. In other words, when you eat a kazais and you ingest it and it goes down your throat, so now you're also going to be tummy as well, right? Fine. Anyway, so at this juncture of the Gemara, what we're doing over here is such a technical discussion regarding when am I chayiv kefal? So the Torah gives now not one but three different animals, shor, chamor, and sev. And what are we going to do with these three animals? So we're going to do what the Gemara classically does. We're going to darshan it using the method of klal aparto klal. Okay, what about salma? Different category. Categorically different. Okay, but meanwhile, three animals, and what are we right now at the juncture of? Well, the three animals does get us to basically animals and birds. That part's true, but maybe it's only limited to kosher because the three animals are kosher, so maybe it's only when I stole a kosher animal or kosher bird. That's where we're at right now. But meanwhile, that's not the conclusion. The conclusion is that you're going to be chayv kefal on any animal that you steal. Okay, so how do we get to the conclusion? So the Gemara says, we're up to the kol. So kol ribu yehu. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so what we're going to do is now we're going to make a major shift here in this discussion. Up until now, we've been using the drasha methodology of klal aparto klal. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to move it from klal aparto klal to ribui mi'ur ribui. Okay, and now, you've heard me say this before, Baruch Hashem, we've said this numerous times. Ribui mi'ur ribui is basically another way in which you darshan. Okay, it's not in the Rebbe Yishmael, you give momido shatar nejashas mahem. Okay, and it is, right? Tanaim are going to dispute and disagree in terms of which is the standard method you're going to use, whether you use klal aparto klal, ribui mi'ur ribui, and what the Gemara over here is advancing is that I could be klal aparto klal, general, and then sometimes what we do is that we shift over to ribui mi'ur ribui, and that's what the Gemara is suggesting right over here. In other words, this is a shift, right? In other words, somehow we press the right button and we shifted from klal aparto klal to ribui mi'ur ribui. Okay, now, what's the difference? Again, we've spoken about this also numerous times in the past. Klal aparto klal is doing the following. In other words, I have a general, specifics, and then I have a general. When I use klal aparto klal, but basically what I'm saying is as follows. Look, klal, that's a general. Prat, now this. Meaning, and the examples that are given are very specific. This. And then what I do with the second klal, I take the examples and I expand them a little bit. Okay? In other words, they have to meet similar characteristics, but I expand them a little bit. That's klal aparto klal. What about ribui mi'ur ribui? So again, it's the same thing. We'll start off with the general, ribui, and then mi'ut. Now, mi'ut basically says, you know that ribui? Shave it a little bit. Trim it a little bit. In other words, it's not going to be everything. It'll be most of those things. We're just going to take something off. We're shaving off. And then when we get to the ribui, the second ribui, we're going to expand it. Now, not to the point where we started, because if all we're going to do is just expand it to the point of the started, so then what was the point? In other words, the second ribui is basically like, oh, you shaved off too much, right? Add a little bit more back on. Okay. Hopefully what you see, right? In other words, again, we've been doing this for years, Baruch Hashem. We've been doing this for years, and really now, like, I have a much better understanding of the differences between klal aparto klal, ribui mi'ut. So now what you see is that with ribui mi'ut, you're going to come out with a lot more, obviously. Okay, that is now in the abstract. That's just a general understanding of the difference. Over here, what the Gemara is saying is that the way to attack this pasuk, not using klal aparto klal, but rather ribui mi'ut or ribui. How did you know that? because you saw the word kol in the pasuk itself. It says the word kol. That's the shift button. You hit that, and that now tells me, oh, no, no, don't use klal part of klal, but rather now use ribuy miut. Ah. Kol ribuy yehu. The kol hechad dekasa kol ribuy yehu. The Gemara says, really, that's the shift button? Right? Are you right about that? You're not right about that. So, the halagabe maisa dechsiv kol v'kadoshinan klal prat tanya. So the Gemara says, what about maisa sheni? Now it happens to be that we just did this in the daf. So I get to read this quickly. And that is v'nasata akesu b'chol asher tava nafshecha klal. V'abakar v'tzona v'yana v'shecha prat. U'v'chol asher tish alcha nafshecha chazo klal. Klal prat klal yata dan alakena prat. Ma prat mefush pri mi pri v'gidule karka av kol pri mi pri v'gidule karka. Okay, so without going into detail over here, the Gemara is just using this as an example. And that is that what we did, if we just arshin, klalu prada klal, buy meister sheni. What am I going to buy with my meister sheni money? The Torah gives examples. Bakar, so yain shechar. And what do I do over here? We're going to darshin it using klalu prada klal. Let's just leave it like that. The point, however, the takeaway point for all of us is that you have the word kol in the pasuk. V'nasata kesev bichol asher taven avshecha. And what method did we use to darshan it? Klal prado klal. Now, that's right. You just told me that when you see the word kol, so we're shifting now from klal prado klal to ribuy miut. But we didn't do that by meister sheni. Okay. So Amre, so the Bnei Yeshiva said, okay, you're right. It's a good point. So bichol klal kol ribuy hu. Now the Gemara gives an unbelievably technical answer. Well, if you see the word kol by itself, that shifts. From klal prado klal to ribuy miut. But if the Torah gives us bichol, which is by meister sheni, bichol is it remains, it blives by klal prado klal. No, okay, good. Ibai same other Gemara says kol klalahu miu kol dahacha ribuyahu. The Gemara says, or alternatively, here's another approach that the Bnei HaYeshiva gave, and that is that kol doesn't really shift. In other words, even when you see the word kol by itself, it remains klal prado klal. Okay, new. And over here, what happens is, this is different. In other words, it's exceptional over here. The rule is, normally, if you're of the school of klal prado klal, you remain by that school, but here, it shifts. Why? So, michti, ksiv mi kara klal prado klal, dechsiv. So the Gemara says, I know that here, in this particular parsha, in this sequence of psukim, we're going to shift it to ribuy miut. Why do I know that? Because consider the following. Up until now, we've been darshaning Pasuk Ches. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take a step backwards. We're going to go back to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav ki tein ish el rei ehu. Now, Pasuk Vav ki tein ish el rei ehu. I'm just reading the Pasuk. Kesef okeim lishmor. V'gunav mi beis ha'ish. Im yimatzei aganav yishalom shnayim. Okay, so back in Pasuk Vav, what are we looking at over here? Ostensibly the same thing. In other words, right, the... I asked somebody to watch an item. The item was stolen, and now we find the thief, and now what do? Yishalim shnayim. You pay kefal. So now, kefal and pasuk vav, kefal and pasuk ches. So later, just in a couple of minutes from now, the daf, we're going to try to wrap our heads around, why does the Torah have to repeat that point two times over? We'll get to that. But meanwhile, right now, what we're going to just focus on is the following. How is vav constructed as a pasuk? Also, klalu pradu klal. Right, ki yitain ish el reihu. The Gemara goes over this. So michti, ksiv mi kara klal prado klal dechsiv ki yitain ish el reihu klal, and kesef okelam prat, and lishmor hadar uklal. So over in pasuk vav, we are already using standard approach of klal prado klal, and isakadacha haya kol davar pesha namil klal prat hu daasa nechter rechman lahani prat gabe hech klal prat. So, the Bnei Yeshiva look at it like this. If Pasuk Ches was there to teach me Klal Prado Klal, well, that's what just happened in Pasuk Vav. And why wouldn't the Torah just simply take the examples from Pasuk Ches and just back them up back into Pasuk Vav? Meaning, isn't it weird that we have Pasuk Vav, Klal Prado Klal, and then Pasuk Chet, again, Nachamol, Klal Uprat Uklal? That's weird. So, the Bnei Yeshiva say, it must be like this. Pasuk Vav is your standard klal prado klal. And what's Pasuk Ches coming to do? It's different. It's not klal prado klal. It's ribuy miut. Not because of the word kol, but simply because it's at this point in time, it's perfectly extraneous. It's miyusar. Okay, good.
Don't you have to be consistent? Either you're dashing the Torah Klal Prat or you're dashing the
right.
Hebrew. You can't switch back and forth.
Good. No, good. Your question's fantastic. In other words, what Rav Chaim is asking over here is that normally we would demand consistency, right? In other words, either you're of one school or you're another school. But in other words, over here, what we're doing is we're shifting. That's exactly what the Gemara today is struggling with. Meaning you're seeing almost an amud of Gemara today dedicated to this question of how can you do that? And you're watching the Bnei Yeshiva, the Chachmei Bavel are really struggling with that very question. So now one proposal is, well, it says the word kol. Kol tells me that it's a shift. The Bnei Yeshiva said, okay, you don't like that. Okay. So maybe it's because we had a klal part of klal two psukim earlier in Pasuk Vav. Okay, three psukim. Right, in Pasuk Vav, two psukim earlier, you had a klal part. So now this has got to be different. And Achinami, this is exactly the struggle of the daf.
But the underlying assumptions that we hold by Rabbi Ishmael, not Rabbi Akiva,
and yeah,
is klal prat.
Yes, correct. In other words, correct. The overall assumption is that we're going to, our default setting is klal prat uklal, and then what we're going to do is that over here we're going to alternate. And mind you, by the way, all this, meaning this is a really technical discussion, right? For those of you who love it, you love it. But it's really technical. All this is in service of, when am I going to be chayv kefil? Meaning, what items when I steal am I going to be chayv kefil? Once I use klal prato klal, it's going to be more minimizing. And once I allow ribui miut to activate, so now it's going to be more inclusive. Even birds, even non-kosher birds, right? That's all we're trying to accomplish today. But admittedly, it's a really technical discussion. We go back to the Gemara. So, right? I called over pesh lamali shemamina ribuyehu. Good. How should I call ribuyeh? So the Gemara says, okay, so now that you're saying that alcohol davar pesha is a riboy, kohani prati lamali. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay. So we at least at this point in time now recognize that Pasuk Ches is not using klal prato klal, but rather it's using now a new method, not new, but in other words, a different method, and that is riboy mita riboy. Good. So now that we're here, so again, what does riboy mita riboy do? The examples are there just to trim off. We're trimming. Keeping most things on the bone, but we're trimming a little bit. So what do we trim off? Now, there are going to be how many trimmings? There are four different examples that are given over there. That's four trimmings. So, chad lemute karka, so good. So one trims off karka. Okay, and again, we'll go back to what we said earlier. You steal karka, you're not going to be chayv kefil. How do you steal karka? Again, that was tosos. Chad lemute avadim. Now, a second one's to be memayit avadim. Okay, now, this one gets a little bit tricky because an evid is hukash lekarka. So I need a separate miut for avadim? Okay. Right now I'll say yes, because the Gemara just said it, but I'm acknowledging that one's a little bit tricky. V'chad lemu'ute shtaros, and one is coming to be mamay shtar. Again, a shtar does not have intrinsic value. V'salma lemu'ute davashena mesuyam. And what about salma? An article of clothing? So that's coming to be mamay an eno mesuyam. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi on the bottom. Last Rashi on the Amud. Limuti davishen mesuyim she'in labalim simen bo shepata mikefo. You steal an item and there's no simen on the item, so there you're not going to be paying kefo. You stole a generic item. Now Tosus really struggles with this Rashi over here because you stole a generic item and it doesn't have a simen. We're not talking about a lost item over here. We're talking about an item that you stole, so it doesn't have a simen on it. You know what you have to do? You have to return it to the person you stole it from, regardless of the fact that it doesn't have a simon. Just because you stole a generic item does not mean you get to keep it. So it is it's an unusual drasha, the way Rashi explained it. Everything I just articulated, by the way, you can find in Tosfos. I did not present an original thought. That was not an original question. That was Tosfos right here, who really struggles with this Rashi, offers a different pshat in the Gemara. But anyway, but we'll stay with Rashi for now. So that is excluded from kefil. Now, al kol aveda. Now, what is al kol aveda coming to teach me? Lechad Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Dam Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, Toin Tainas Ganav, be aveda. So mishalem tashlomei kefil shenemra al kol aveda sher yomar ki huzam. Okay, and the pasuk goes on from there, and then. The last phrase of al kol aveda, so that's coming to tell me that there's also going to be an inclusion of kefel, even in the case of a shomer aveda. Somebody lost an item. I find the lost item. He comes over to me, says, "No, could you return the item? I heard that you found it." And then you say, "Oh, that's so funny. You're right. I did find it, and I was totally planning on giving it back to you, but it was stolen from me." Really? Really? So you had it and it was stolen. Yep, that's what happened. Shomer Aveda. So can Toin Tan is gone up by Shomer Aveda. So can you swear to the fact that it was stolen from you? Sure, you swear that it was stolen from you, and now it turns out that it was not stolen from you, and you lied, and either you come clean or witnesses attest to the fact that you lied. So and at that point in time, now you're going to be chayev kefa. This is what's called Toin Tan is gone up, which we'll talk more in detail in just a moment. This halacha that you pay kefa by Toin Tan is gone up is even when you picked up a lost item. And you claim it was stolen, under those circumstances, you're also going to be paying kefal. And that we learn out from the extra al kol aveda. Okay. Good. So where are we right now? Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, which we just completed. So it just went through how to approach Pasuk Ches. It's it. An entire Amud, just simply, what is the correct drasha of Pasuk Ches? How are we going to darshan it? We're going to darshan it using klal v'parto klal. It can't, because then it becomes too limiting. We're going to be using the drasha of ribui amido ribui. Yeah, but how are you allowed to do that? In other words, if I normally use klal v'parto klal, how do I know now that pasuk ches gets to ribui amido ribui? The Gemara gave a couple of approaches of how to do that. Once we darshan ribui amido ribui, so then all the examples in that pasuk are there just to exclude a little bit here, a little bit there. What are we excluding? Karka, avadim, shtaros, and then davar she'enu mesuyam. Those are excluded from kefal. Everything else that you steal and caught with the stolen item are going to now be, you're going to be in the parsha, in the pasuk, and you're going to be chayiv kefal. And now what about al-kol davar pesha? And then what do we do with al-kol aveda? Al-kol aveda comes to tell me that a towing time is gone enough by a Shomer Veda is also going to be chayv and kefal as well. Okay. And all that was in a nutshell, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We now obviously are on the Amud Beis, and let's continue. Tanan Hasam. So we just learned together that your towing time is gone enough, you're going to be chayv kefal. Okay. Let's do this a little bit better, a little bit clearer. Okay. I teased this already a couple times this morning. Let's now talk about towing time is gone enough. Okay. When are you chayv kefal? So the easiest answer and the correct answer is you're chayv kefal when you steal an item, again, not revealing your identity. In other words, you're a ganef, not a gazlan. There is no kefal by gzela. Kefal is only by geneva. You steal an item while concealing your identity, and then you're caught with the stolen item. In other words, if you just simply go back and say, "Look, I'm really sorry, I stole your item. Okay, don't know what I was thinking. I'd like to do tshuva." You return the item. You don't pay kefal. Okay, kefal is only when the item is discovered on you or on your property. Now you are going to be penalized with kefal penalty. You're going to be paying not only the item over one time, you're paying it over two times. Good. In addition to that, there's also toin tanis ganav. Now toin tanis ganav means the following. Somebody trusted me. He handed over an item that he wanted me to watch. I'm now a shomer on that item. He comes over to me and says, "No, can I have the item back?" I say, "Look, I'm really sorry. Gone." And you're towing Tainas Ganav. Well, what do you mean it's gone? Well, what happened is that somebody came in and into the night and, you know, broke into my house and stole the item. I'm really sorry. Now, just for the purposes of this example, let's assume that you are a Shomer Chinam, which means now that you would have been Pater. You are, in fact, Pater. And you swear and you attest to the fact. You attest and swear to the fact that the item was stolen from you, which Paters you now from liability. You're not chayiv. Afterwards, you discover that nobody stole it from you. You, in fact, took it. So under those circumstances, not only do you obviously have to pay back principal value of that which you stole, you're going to be paying back kefal as well. So in other words, the kefal penalty is not just limited to mamish ganav, but also towing tainas ganav. Now, where is that in the psukim? Where do you see that in the psukim? Okay, so let's uncover all that. Let's unpackage all that. That's what we're doing here on the Amud Beis of today's daf. Tanan Hasam. So this is a Mishnah. So this is coming up later in the Masechta, much later in the Masechta. Heichan piktoni amar lei avad. Where's my pikadon? Ask the owner. And the shomer says, "I lost it." Mashbi echani v'amar amen. I'm going to make you swear. Good, I'm swearing. And now witnesses come forward and said, you know, he claimed that it was lost. He ate it, said the witnesses. So Meshamas HaKaren. Under the circumstances, you pay Karen. You do not pay Kefo. Now this is why. In other words, you're right. You sold the item. Yeah, but your taina was not Geneva. Your taina was Aveda. It's a very technical point, but in order to be Chayv Kefal, he has to be towing Tainas, Ganas, not Aveda. Now, hold up, Piatma, Misham, Karen, Vichamish, Asham. Now, let's say witnesses don't come, but let's say afterwards you admit that you falsely swore. So there's a Karban Asham, and there's no Kefal. Now, you also pay Chomish. Chomish is attached to the Karban Asham, meaning that when you admit that you falsely swore, so then you're going to be paying the principal value and you're going to be paying a chomesh on top of that, 25%. And on top of that, you also bring a karban asham. Fine. Now, contrast that with the following. Same discussion, but a different taina. Heichan piktoni amrlo nignav mashbiach haniv amr amein ve'edem idem oso shagan v'masham tashom mekefal ho dameatmo misham keren chomesh ve'asham. So now, in the same exact exchange with one notable difference, and that is that the shomer instead is saying that the item was lost. The shomer says the item was stolen. So now this is towing tainas ganav, and now he's caught in a lie. So now he's going to be paying kefal. Okay, ketani miya b'towing tainas ganav v'misham tashom mekefal v'b'towing tainas avad lo misham tashom mekefal ve'afilu towing tainas ganav b'shvuah d'misham tashom mekefal avad shelo b'shvuah enim misham tashom mekefal menahani mili. Okay, so we know the rules, and now we want to know how do we extract that from the psukim. Again, the rules are as follows. You're going to be chayv kefal not only when you steal the item, that was the amud aleph of today's daf, but now in the amud beis of today's daf, if you claim that the item was stolen, so you're going to be chayv kefal. But two important points. Number one is that the claim has to be theft. That's number one. And number two, you had to make a shvua to your claim. Then and only then, claim of theft, tainas ganav, and shvua. Then and only then, if you're caught in the lie, so then you're going to be chayv kefal. Good. That's the halacha. Once again, minahani mili, how do I know that? Tan rabbanan. So here we go now on the Amud Beis.
But if he admits himself, there's no
kefal. Right, correct.
Either case.
Correct, correct. If he admits it himself, so that now, karban asham. There's chomish and there's asham. But correct, but there's no kefal. So how do I know that? So here we are now, and now we're backing up to Pasuk Vav. Okay? On the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Pasuk Ches. Now in the Amud Beis, we're backing up to Pasuk Vav. So, again, I'm just going to, right? In other words, take a step back from the Gemara for a second. I'm quoting the Pasuk. Ki yitein ish el re'ehu kesef o chelim lishmor v'gunav mi beis ha'ish im yimatze haganav yishalem shnayim. So, simple pshat on the Pasuk. So I give it to my friend, money or utensils. I ask him to be a shomer. V'gunav mi beis ha'ish. And it is stolen. So now, im yimatzei haganav yishalem shnayim, that the ganav is found, so he's going to be paying twice. If I ask you to, we're not going to have much back and forth over here right now, but if I were to ask you, like in other words, who's paying kefal in this pasuk, pasuk vav? Simple pshat in the pasuk is that we're talking about the ganav. The ganav is paying kefal. Okay, that's a simple pshat. we're going to move beyond simple pshat. So now we're back in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Imi matzei haganav b'toin tanis ganav v'kasa medaber. So the Gemara tells us, the Braisa tells us, it's not talking about the ganav, it's talking about toin tanis ganav. We're on the shomer, we're holding by the shomer. The shomer claims it was stolen, and meanwhile he was caught. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not simple pshat. This is still the Braisa. How do I know that that's what the Pasuk is describing? Kishuomer, im lo yimatzei haganav. So, towing tainas ganav, a custom medaber. Good. So, in other words, I know it's not talking about the ganav, because you know where the ganav is being discussed? In Psukim Zayin and Ches. Meaning, all you have to do now is just continue in the Torah, go to Pasuk Zayin, go to Pasuk Ches. That's describing the ganav. Oh, so now when I back up to Pasuk Vav, well, it can't be talking about the Ganav because that's already described in detail in Pesukim Zayin and Ches. What's Pasuk Vav? Towing Tanis Ganav. Okay. So Tanya Yidach, the Gemara gives us another Braisa. Im Yimatzei Haganav B'Ganav Atzma Kasa Medaber. So, Im Yimatzei Haganav. So in this Braisa, the obviously disagreement. This price is of the position that Pasuk Vav is talking about the Ganav. So, Ata Omer Beganav Atzmo Einu Ela B'Toin Tan is Ganav. How do I know? Kishu Omer Im Lo Yimatzeh HaGanav. So, Harei Toin Tan is Ganav Amor. Hamani Mekayim Im Yimatzeh HaGanav Beganav Atzmo Akasu Medaber. Okay, so in this price, everything gets flipped. In other words, Pasuk Vav is talking about the Ganav Atzmo, and Pasuk Zayin Ches is talking about Toin Tan is Ganav. Okay. And I know all this can get confusing.
So the difference is that by Toin Tan is Ganav, you have to have a Shvur.
Right.
If I get careful without a shvua.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely accurate. Toin Tan is Ganav needs a shvua. Ganav itself does not need a shvua. Correct. Kule ama miyaskim yamatzeh ganav betoin tan is ganav akasim. I'm sorry, betoin tan is ganav ksev. So my mashma. Okay, so now everyone's of the position. Im lo yamatzeh ganav is talking about toin tan is ganav. How do we get there? Meaning, how do you extract the conclusion from the pasuk? Amar Rava im lo yamatzeh kamasha amar elahu atzmo ganavo. So Yishalom Shnayim. Okay, so. Im lo yamatzeh is to be interpreted as follows. Not im lo yamatzeh means if it's not found what he claimed, i.e. he claimed that it was stolen, and lo yamatzeh, and turns out, no, he was wrong. That's not true. So under those circumstances, Yishalom Shnayim. Okay. Uminalim debishvua. So far now, after looking at Pesukim Vav Zayin and Ches in Perichav Beis, so we know that there are now two categories, and one is in which somebody is eligible to pay kefal. Either you're the ganav atzmo, or you're toin tan is ganav. Okay, where exactly is toin tan is ganav? Good. The brisa's dispute and debate where exactly it's going to be extracted from. Either it's going to be extracted from vav or from ches. Either one of those pesukim. Either way, in other words, both halachas are incorporated in those pesukim. Now, by toin tan is ganav, so again, what happens? You're a shomer. You were asked to watch an item, and you claim it was stolen, and not just claim it was stolen, you made a shvu to that effect. Your eligibility for kefel is only after you made a shvu. How do you know that? Next part of the Gemara. Uminalan de b'shvu, detan you will learn the price of a nikra balabayit al-halukim. L'shvua, that's for a shvu to amr l'shvua, you know, el-aladin. So the Gemara says, I don't know. When the pasuk says, v'nikra balabayit, and now I say elokim. Right? Correction. It should be Elohim. Meaning, we're not talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about a Beis Din. Okay, good. V'nikra balabayis al Elohim. So, l'shvua, ata omer l'shvua inu al din. Okay? Good. You went to the Beis Din. Why did you go to for a Beis Din? You went to make a shvua. Gemara says, how do I know? Maybe you went to Beis Din for litigation. So, nemer shlichos yad lamata v'nemer shlichos yad lamala. So, mala halon shvua, avkan l'shvua. Because context. In other words, now you're going to drop down just a couple more psukim later. Same parakhav base, pasuk yud, shvuos Hashem tiyeh ben shneyim im lo shalach yado b'melechez re'ehu. Okay, when you're a shomer, so one of the things that you're going to be attesting is that you didn't misappropriate. In fact, you're going to make a shvua that you didn't misappropriate. Okay, good. So over there, the word in that pasuk yud, is shvuos Hashem tiyeh ben shneyim. Clearly that's talking about a shvua. So over here, shvua as well, right? Mala halam shvua, afkan l'shvua. So, bishlam alaman damar, chad beganav v'chad betoin tan is ganav. Okay, so, the pasuk in yamatzeh ganav, yishalom shnayim. So, is that talking about toin tan is ganav, or is that talking about ganav atzmo? So, according to the man da'amar, who says, chad beganav v'chad betoin tan is ganav, so hainu dichsiv shrei krai. Elaman damar tavayu betoin tan is ganav, trei krai lamali. If one is talking about toin tan is ganav and the other one's talking about the actual ganav itself, good. I know why I need two psukim, because those are two different halachas. Those are two different people. But if both psukim are in fact talking about toin tan is ganav, and again, there is a school of thought that both of them are talking about toin tan is ganav, so then why do I need two psukim for toin tan is ganav? So amri chad lemutei tan is avad. So the Gemara says as follows. The Bnei HaYeshiva said, one is coming to exclude tan is avad. Meaning, Shomer comes over to me, sorry, owner comes over to me and says to me, "Nu, where's my item?" And my response is, it was lost. So under those circumstances, again, you lied, you're right, you're not a good person, but you're not eligible for kefal. Ulaman damer chad beganav v'chad betoin tan is ganav v'delo miyaser lemutei tan is avim menale. So the Gemara says, okay, but good. That's if both psukim are talking about toin tanis ganav. But if you operate with the school of thought that one's talking about ganav and the other one's talking about toin tanis ganav, so now I have nothing extraneous. There's no fat, so to say. And so under those circumstances, how do I know that toin tanis avad is to be excluded? So mi ganav ha ganav. So the Gemara says the extra hay. Ulaman damar tavar b'toin tanis ganav demiet le toin tanis avad ganav ha ganav my darish bay. Gemara says great. So if I hold that they are both talking about toin tanis ganav, and I already have a mute for tanis avad, what do I do with that extra hay? So I'm alacham ibay lelechad Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan toin tanis ganav bepikadon misham teshul mekefal tavachumacher misham teshul mearba vechamisha. So what we do with the extra hay is the following halacha, and that is that I'm a toin tanis ganav, which means now I'm eligible for kefal. Again, toin tanis ganav and shvua. I'm eligible for kefal, and on top of that, I compound my mistake by either shechting the animal or selling the animal. Under those circumstances, I now also become eligible for dal v'hei. Ulaman damer chabe ganav v'chabe toin tanis ganav dahai ganav haganav afke lemutei tanis avad derbi chia bar abba menale. I really hope you're holding cup. I admit there is a lot to keep. To keep in your head as the Gemara is juggling all these drashas. I have one pasuk for ganav. I have one pasuk for toin tanis ganav. I need the hay to teach me tanis avad. So where do I now generate the halacha of toin tanis ganav coupled with either shchita or mechira? How do I know that he's eligible for dal v'hay? Am lecha keshahu ve'im mishivan al hekesh. So the Gemara says, good. And for that, I have a hekesh. And, well, you know what you can't do with a hekesh. You can't challenge a hekesh. Meaning, even though Geneva and Toin Tanis Ganav are not the same. By Geneva, Rav Chaim made this point earlier. By Geneva, you're chayv kefal, as long as you're caught with the item. There's no shvur to make. By Toin Tanis Ganav, you're only going to be chayv kefal if you make a claim and you make a shvur. So they're not the same. The Gemara says, I know they're not the same, but we have a hekesh. Since they are now next to one another in the Torah, so whatever's true by one is going to be true by the other. Mm. By Ganav, there's going to be Chiv Dal Vehe. By Tavachul Machar, same thing is going to be true by Toin Tanis Ganav. There's also going to be Dal Vehe by Tavachul Machar. Okay. There's no good place to pause. We're going to pause over here. Okay, as we just keep bouncing, ping-ponging back and forth. Okay, so where are we today? Let's just do a really simple summary of today's daf. I admit, a lot of moving parts. But truth of the matter is really, it's not that difficult to summarize. Okay, number one, a person steals, he's going to be chayv kefal. The Torah expresses this really clearly. What do you have to steal in order to be subject to kefal? And again, it's geneva, not gzela. Okay, good. What do you have to ganav in order to be subject to kefal? So the Torah gives multiple examples. So of the multiple examples that are given in the Torah, what do we deduce from there? We're going to use our method of drash. So we're not going to use klal prado klal, but rather we're going to use ribu yamiut. Why do we do that? So the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph gave a number of explanations, but when all said and done, basically you steal an item that is movable and has intrinsic worth, then and only then are you going to be chayv kefal. Good. Excluding property of avadim, shtaros, according to Rashi, a davashena mesuyim, a generic item, a nondescript item. Funny Rashi. Anyway, so if you steal any one of those items, you're not going to be chayv kefal, but outside of that, you steal an item, a geneva, you're going to be chayv kefal. That's Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, what about Samach Gimel Amud Beis? So there's also another time you're going to be paying kefal, and that's Toin Tanis Ganav. You were a shomer. Baal Hadavar comes over to you and says, give me back my item. You say to him, look, I'm really sorry. Item was stolen from me. Let's go to court. We go to court. I make a shvua. Now, if I'm caught with the item subsequent, I'm chayv kefal. And on the Amud Beis of today's daf, what do? Just simply went into the Pesukim, and we tried to locate where you're going to find that in the Pesukim. A couple of brises on the Amud Beis. One learns it from Pasuk Vav, another one learns it from Pasuk Ches, and then the negotiation. If I learn it from Pasuk Vav, what do I do with Ches? If I see it in both Ches and Vav, then why do I need it in both places? And the classic, how exactly does everything get darshened out, and how does everything get filtered and organized by the end of the day? Good. I've got it. Sure.